The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Thank you. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. I love this audience. I do. So often you think of things that I don't think of, you know. I get an email, I see something on Facebook, and I smack myself on the head and go, why didn't I think of that? You know? Why didn't I think of that? Hey, my telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. What caused the latest smack in the forehead? Well, a story that we were talking about earlier, a couple of segments ago, about the city councilwoman from Cincinnati, Tamaya Dinard, who is the president pro tem of the Cincinnati City Council. Okay. She released a statement yesterday complaining about the coverage of the fire at the Cathedral of Notre Dame. And she's complaining because the fire at the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, France, has received more press coverage than the burning of three black churches in Mississippi. If you weren't listening earlier, I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. One of the most iconic, one of the most historic buildings, not just church, but buildings in the entire world, considered an architectural marvel that has been standing for 850 years. A building that receives multiple millions of visitors every year. There are more people that visit the Cathedral at Notre Dame than the Eiffel Tower. In fact, it is one of the most visited sites in all of Europe. It's one of the most visited sites on the entire planet. There are very few places on planet Earth that has more visitors per year, tourists and so forth, than the Cathedral at Notre Dame. And yet this woman in Cincinnati is complaining because it got more press coverage than three black churches because this shows white privilege. And again, I am not making this up. She says, I'm saddened that the beautiful cathedral in France was damaged, but this is a prime example of privilege. White people don't have to see me if they don't choose to. Black people don't have a choice. Now, what I didn't think of, but one of our listeners did, I was checking Facebook during the top of the hour, and one of our listeners pointed out, excuse me, the president pro tem of one of America's premier cities, Cincinnati, the president pro tem of one of America's key cities, someone who has a place of power and authority that few people will reach, she is talking about privilege? Oh, and I hadn't even thought of that. And what an unbelievable irony that a woman, an African-American, who is the president pro tem of the Cincinnati City Council, is talking about white privilege. And by the way, I pulled up the City Council of Cincinnati. The vice mayor is African-American. The president pro tem is African-American. Councilmember Jeff Pastor is African-American. Councilmember Wendell Young is African-American. Basically, half of the city council in Cincinnati is African-American. Half. And the two most powerful, influential positions are both African-Americans, which I think is great. I think that's wonderful. I congratulate them. But she has the gall to talk about privilege and to condemn the media for giving so much attention to the destruction of the cathedral at Notre Dame. Speaking of that, you might be interested. They are going to rebuild. There's no doubt about it. And are you ready for this? The fire was Monday, right? Already over $1 billion, that's with a B, already over $1 billion has been raised for the reconstruction of the Cathedral of Notre Dame. Over $1 billion in about 48 hours. $1 billion. That is mind-blowing. They're estimating it will probably take 5 years. Now, that's fascinating because it took almost 200 years to build it before it was finished. Now, they added on, they started and stopped and so on and so forth. But it took, in total, almost 200 years to finish it. The good news is, in spite of the unbelievable pictures that we all saw, the video, I was sitting here in the studio watching it while we were on the air. And that evening, you know, watching this fire, and I mean, any reasonable person would look at that and say, total loss, the whole thing's going to fall down. Actually, the damage wasn't nearly as bad as was expected. The organ is probably one of the three most famous pipe organs in the world, in world history, and just minor damage. Minor damage to the organ. There were fears that the organ was going to be totally destroyed, and of course, that could never be replaced the way it was. It has over 6,000 pipes. Minor damage. It is damage, but minor. The famous rose stained glass windows, which are irreplaceable, could not be replaced. Just minor damage. Minor damage. The altar at the front, almost not damaged at all. And, of course, there has been many, 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 many pictures of the cross unscathed, the big gold cross unscathed. And then for many people, and I hope you don't take this wrong, and please don't get mad at me, but people are talking about the miracle that the crown of thorns was saved. Well, this is tradition that at the Cathedral of Notre Dame, they actually have the crown of thorns that Jesus wore when he was crucified. I say this with respect. I don't believe for a minute that's the actual crown of thorns. Most of the relics that are in cathedrals all over Europe, there is no proof, no evidence whatsoever as to their authenticity. And this has been, this is probably 30 years ago. Somebody, you know, there are many, many, many cathedrals all over Europe that have pieces of the cross, the original cross of Jesus. Notre Dame is one of them. They have a little piece of wood, and it's supposedly a real piece of the cross of Christ. Well, someone, and again, 30, 40 years ago, went all over Europe to all of these churches and cathedrals, and measured the pieces of wood that had been claimed to be pieces of the cross. Well, they measured them all, added it all up, and the cross would have been like 58 feet tall and, you know, 40 feet wide. In other words, no, they're not authentic. So I'm sorry, I don't believe for a minute that that's the real crown of thorns. And here's the reason why. It doesn't make sense historically. Jesus was crucified as not a common thief, a terrible, horrible thief. It's unthinkable that the Romans would have saved the cross. None of the disciples certainly would have thought to save the cross. It's just not reasonable or logical at all. That's number one. And number two, I don't believe God has anything to do with relics that are worshipped and prayed to. God doesn't want us worshiping and praying to relics. Not when we can come directly to the throne of grace. It's what it says in Hebrews. We can come boldly to the very throne of grace. We don't need an intercessor. We can come to Jesus himself. And we worship Jesus. We don't worship crowns. We don't worship hunks of wood. We don't worship the cross. If they were tomorrow to find the actual cross of Jesus, people would worship it. It's not what God desires. We don't worship things. We worship Jesus himself. And this is just personal. Like I said, don't get mad at me. I just don't think God has anything to do with these relics that in many ways take the place of Jesus himself. So a lot has been made that a priest, risked his life to go in and save the crown of thorns. Okay. The Cathedral of Notre Dame is, again, this architectural marvel. It's, and again, I've been there, just once, but it's breathtaking, and I'm glad they're going to rebuild it. But I pray that the focus is not on the building, but upon Christ. All right. Whoa, I am way over for this break. My number, 877 Bob Live. Oh, the churches were burned in Louisiana. I kept saying Mississippi. I'm sorry. And whoever called to correct me, thank you, thank you. It was Louisiana, not Mississippi. And again, whoever called to correct me, thank you. I appreciate it. All right, we'll be back.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
You want to hear something crazy, wacky, loony, insane? Now, most of you know this, but many do not. There will be hundreds, if not thousands, of churches this coming Sunday that will celebrate Easter. And do not believe the meaning of Easter. What do I mean by that? They will celebrate Easter because they want the big attendance. They'll come join us for Easter, celebrate Easter with us. And yet, there are many, many, many churches that will celebrate Easter that do not believe that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the tomb. It's true. It is true. They believe it was symbolic. It wasn't physical. It wasn't literal. He lives today in spirit. But he didn't rise bodily from the tomb. And of course, and then there are others who say, he didn't really die. There's the old swoon theory that keeps rearing its ugly head every once in a while. The swoon theory says, this is an attempt to explain away the supernatural, the miraculous. Okay, the swoon theory says that Jesus was crucified, and it was terrible, it was horrible, he lost a lot of blood and fluid, and he became extremely dehydrated. And on the cross, he passed out. He lost consciousness. And because it was ancient times, they didn't have the technology to detect a heartbeat today. So they looked at him. He looked lifeless. And they took him down from the cross and declared him dead. Now, he really wasn't dead. He was in a coma. Okay? He was in a coma. But they assumed he was dead, and that's what they said, and that's what the writers of the New Testament said. He was dead and so forth. But he really wasn't dead. He was in a coma. And they put him in the tomb. And the coolness of the tomb rejuvenated him. He came out of the coma. Okay. Now, I want you. By the way, I'm going to get to the story about how many people in Great Britain actually believe in the resurrection. I'll get to that in a minute. But now think about that. This swoon theory has been used and discussed by liberal theologians for years and years and years, major denominations and so forth. So, he came out of the grave, but he wasn't really dead. So it was a cool thing. It was an exciting thing. But it wasn't miraculous. He was just revived by the coolness of the tomb. Think about this. A gigantic stone was in front of the door, weighing probably tons, at least 1 ton, 2 tons. This gigantic stone took several, whole bunch of people, and it was sealed by the Roman soldiers. And we're to believe that Jesus Christ, who was in a coma, comes to life, comes out of the coma, and has enough strength by himself in the dark to roll away the massive stone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. Okay. Oh, there are just so many ways that the liberals have tried to explain away the supernatural, the miraculous. And the fact is, it was a miracle. It was miraculous. All right, here's a brand new poll out of Great Britain. They polled people who called themselves Christians. 46%, less than half, actually believe that Jesus died physically and resurrected physically, rose from the grave and was resurrected. Less than half of the people in Great Britain who claim, identify themselves as Christians, less than half. Now, and by the way, some very, very prominent Anglican leaders, Church of England, some very prominent Anglican leaders are the leaders of this movement. One is an Anglican priest who wrote How to Be a Bad Christian and a Better Human Being. His name is Dave Tomlinson. Yeah. Now, it gets more interesting. For Christians who regularly attend a church, 82% believe that Jesus was actually resurrected. Now, folks, here's the bottom line. If you do not believe in the bodily resurrection, you are not a Christian. Nope, you are not.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.